Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. And we're back. Welcome. Okay, happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers, mother figures. Blessings on you. And let's also maybe just remember to pray for those who, you know, there's some people around here who've lost moms recently. And so keep them in mind and in your prayers today as well. But blessings on you. And thank you for what you do. Let's just do that quickly even now. Lord, this is the way you've made us. You brought us into the world with a mother, and some of them were excellent, and some of them left something to be desired, and yet we say thank you for how you have made the world and that you have brought us to this place, and we have something to be grateful for. And I pray your blessings over each mom and each mother figure here as well. I pray blessings on the roles that they play and the relationships that they have. And I pray that you would guide each one of us in honoring those that have played those roles in our lives. And we thank you for your goodness seen and experienced through them. So Lord, I pray your blessings on each one. And then also pray for those for whom this is a challenging day, having lost a mom who was so dear and a part of our lives. And so, Lord, would you guide those to both celebrate and remember and be grateful and at the same time grieve well. So, Lord, would you have your way? Have your way in our lives, in our families, in relationships, and would you guide us in whether we are male or female, to have those kinds of relationships that are healthy and provide those supports and nurturing opportunities. And Lord, for those who are really longing for both the opportunity to give from what they have received from you, and for those who are looking for people to come alongside and support in that way, Lord, I pray that you would have your way, that we as people who know Jesus would be remade in your image and then use the roles and the gifts that you've given us to be a blessing to other people. And as this is just one of those days on the calendar that reminds us that we can do this as well as honor those who have played that role in our lives, I pray that you would have your way and that the things that you have intended for us as people in relationship would be the things that you would draw out in each one of us. Lord, as we now move into a time of sharing about the ways that you are at work in our lives, I pray that the spotlight would be on Jesus and that you would be glorified through this time. And I pray for your blessings on the kids who are going to engage with you at their level, and I pray that you would guide the teachers and those supporting them. I pray that as a result of time spent in that back room with one another, that it would be a time of growing in relationship with Jesus. So Lord, form each one of us and make us people who bear your image well at every age and stage. In Jesus' name, amen. The first one that we're going to invite up is Kevin Bender, and this is sort of a quasi-announcement, but then there's also a bit of a testimony in it as well, and so I'll welcome.
Thanks. We're on. We're good to go. Okay. Can you hear me okay? Good. Normally when I've come up here to say something, it's on behalf of church council, but my term has come to an end, so I'm no longer with council, but I'm wearing a different hat. About 6 years ago, I was asked to join the board of Church Investors Fund, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. But then in January, I was asked to kind of come on and do some work for them. Some of you may remember or know, have met Les and Eva Collins. They've attended here occasionally. They go to the States for the winter and then are here during the summer in Red Deer. Les has been heading up Church Investors Fund for the past, well, almost 25 years, and he's retiring, and he's asked if I would take over doing the kind of the PR work of his job in Canada. So the organization is in the States, but they needed somebody in Canada just to be boots on the ground. So that's what I've agreed to do. It's just a part-time position. But Church Investors Fund was started by the North American Baptist Conference, which Unity is a part of. And so they started it to help fund churches or to grant money or give money to churches to build, like building projects, acquire land for building, that type of thing. And then to finance that, they also took money on as deposits. So it's a financial institution that people can put money into, and then that money is used for ministry purposes, for building projects, for land. It's primarily North American Baptist churches, but we've expanded now to some other churches that we loan money to. And as well, people can deposit money. You don't have to be an NEB person to put money into the institution. And so if you've attended our annual meetings or semi-annual meetings, you may have heard of Church Investors Fund because we've put some money on deposit with them. We had some money sitting in the bank earning almost nothing. So we invested it with CIF and we're gaining a little bit more interest. But then that money that we've given to them, they are using to help other churches or ministries expand their ministry. And so I brought some things here. If anybody's interested, there's a promo that they've put on right now, just because right now loan demand is high. So there's a lot of churches looking for loans for projects, but the cash reserves aren't there to meet it. So they're putting on a promo right now. So I have just some cards they've sent out. It's 4.45% till the end of June, and that's for a one-year term. So if anybody's interested in if you have savings money that's not earning you that much money and you want to do that, you can invest money into this institution. And it's a one-year term, but this promo expires the end of June. They may extend it if they have lots of demand for it. So I have those here. Those of you who are, if annual reports is your thing, I've got some annual reports that if you take an interest in reading through those, but it does provide a lot of information about CIF and who they are and what they do. So if you have any questions, please come and talk to me. We're always looking for people to be more involved or be interested in that. My doing this, I'm going to be gone a little bit more. Like I think in the month of March, there were 5 Sundays and I was in 4 different churches on through the month of March. So that I don't enjoy as much being away, but it's part of what this job entails, and I quite enjoy it. But I think that's about all. Do you have any questions for me about this?
Well, no, I just want to clarify. Well, I do have one question, but first I just want to clarify. Church Investors Fund I had a pastor's meeting this week with our local denomination up in Edmonton, and they had a different representative, someone who works alongside Kevin, and they clarified something for me that I didn't realize, which is that this group, they only invest in churches. They don't take your money and then go invest it with Coca-Cola. They only invest in churches, and so that was something new for me. This is entirely for kingdom building. It's not about investing in the next Procter & Gamble kind of thing and then allowing a church then to get a loan out of what they invest. It's entirely church and kingdom stuff. So that was really cool.
There are some investments, like when cash deposits are high, they will invest that money in GICs or something else so that it's not just sitting there, that there's no loans. So there are some investments there, but primarily it is churches and ministry.
Okay.
So there are, and some camps, some schools, but it's mostly churches.
Yeah, the primary focus then is kingdom stuff, which is wonderful to hear. Mm-hmm. But then one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, Kevin, like you are a busy farmer. Right? And yet you have dedicated time to this because you have seen it as a worthwhile investment of your time. So I just thought it would be interesting for you to share a little bit with us about why that is.
I think when Les first approached me, he kind of saw my passion or desire for this organization, and he saw my involvement in the North American Baptist Conference. I know quite a few pastors throughout North America, just from going to Bible school with them over the years and connections. So I think he saw something in me that he thought would be a good fit for this role. And so he asked if I would do it, and I said, sure. When they set it up, they said, like, it's very part-time. It's about roughly 20 hours a month. But they said it can revolve around my farming schedule or career. Mm-hmm. So generally this time of year will be a lot less. Harvest time, I won't be doing much, but throughout the winter, some times during the summer, I'll have to go and visit churches or different ministries just to keep up with them and talk to them. So they've tailored it in a way that I can do a lot of work in a set period of time and then do almost nothing for the next period of time.
Mm-hmm. So they've made it fit your life, but mm-hmm. you've seen something at the same time where you thought this, what they're doing with the church and the denomination and helping other churches has been something that you say, like, there's some kingdom stuff in mm-hmm. here. And so, yeah, thanks for sharing that with us. I found it kind of at first a little bit odd because it's when Kevin said, hey, can I share this with you? Because we're a church, we never even talk about taking up an offering anymore. And yet there's this thing here. But it's something that not only has Kevin been involved with it, but it has blessed and benefited our church and can be a blessing and a benefit to you personally as well as to other churches in the area. So it's sort of a different kind of thing, but yeah, thanks for sharing that with us, Kevin. Yeah.
And just another thing too, it's both savings, and there's also the option for RRSPs. If people want to put money into RRSPs, they can do that through this institution as well. Mm-hmm. So that there's a number of different options. Our church right now, we have a fixed 1 year. I think it's at 3.9% mm-hmm. that the money is earning right now. So If that's something you're interested in, if you have money sitting there that you want to invest and know that it's going to fund ministry, please come and talk to me and mm-hmm. come pick up some of these brochures that I have if you like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that. All right. Pass those. I'm going to take communion at this mm-hmm. time. The gluten-free is in this one here on this side. As we move into communion, we're doing communion before testimony. And I was thinking about this. This is we typically call this the table, right? The Lord's table. This is the table that sets the table for everything that we're about to talk about, right? When we share testimonies here, it's never to put the spotlight on the person sharing the testimony. It is always with the intention that we put the spotlight on Jesus and give people a picture of how Jesus is at work in different people's lives. But it all starts with Jesus, and it all starts at the table. So I invite you to join us in this. You don't have to be part of our church. If you say you follow Jesus, you are welcome to participate in this. But this is where it all begins. So before we get to our testimonies, we come back to Jesus and say, thank you for setting the table for us. He's the one who gives us himself. And because he has given us himself, there are all of these good things that we can then share in our lives where we say, I know Jesus. I've trusted Jesus. I see Jesus at work in my life. And therefore, we can come. And it becomes part of our worship. So that's why we do this. So would you join me in prayer and just coming before Jesus again to say, you are Lord. Lord, we come to you, and it is all because of your sacrifice. All because you loved us enough, as we just sang. You loved us enough to give us yourself, because that is what we most needed. That where our sins had separated us from you, where we could not find a way to get into proper relationship with you and bridge that gap, you offered yourself in our place. And it's because of what you have done and saying yes to you and to that sacrifice and saying, I don't understand it all, but I believe and I will trust, that we get to be in this incredible, life-giving relationship with you. So Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you that you took my place. Thank you that it's there that you not only defeated sin and death and the enemy, but then began to restore all that was stolen from us and to build your life in us as a result of what you have done. So Lord, thank you. We love you. So Lord, I once again come back to those scriptures and repeat them for your sake and for ours, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. He blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after dinner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Lord, we say yes to body and blood, to the blessings that you pour out and that you offer as we take what you give. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take in remembrance of him. Okay, let's share and let's put the spotlight on Jesus. Noah, would you come share, please? Noah runs a ministry that goes out to the streets on Sunday nights, asks for God's leading, and then goes where we think God's leading us, and we pray for people. We have conversations with people. We wrap our arms around people. So Noah's got a story to share of how God's been at work, and we've seen it recently.
Yeah, so when Ben said there was going to be testimony shared, I was kind of thinking, okay, which one of these Sunday night things am I going to share? And then last Sunday we went out and I was like, all right, it's going to be this one. So each time before we actually go out and pray for people, we stop at City Hall and ask God for directions on where to go. And so this particular night we got a few things to go to Rotary Park, Mark 6:12, which is just after Jesus sends his disciples, and the verse specifically says that they would go and preach a message of repentance. Also got cross, which we weren't quite sure what that meant. Speaking the message of the cross. Also got angels and holding a fish in hands, a picture of hands holding a fish. And so some of these we were pretty confused about, but we were pretty confident, okay, go to Rotary Park first. So that's what we did. The four of us went over to Rotary Park, and we see a group of people kind of hanging out under the gazebo that's over there. And so we walk over, and a guy comes out right away as we're going and says to us, don't take another step. And so, not the most welcoming words to hear, but so the four of us stop and we kind of explain, oh yeah, we're giving out waters and granola bars and praying for people. And this guy, he was wearing a hat with a cross on it, but the cross was upside down. So basically, as anti-Christian of a article of clothing that you could possibly wear. And so already we're kind of like, all right, this is someone who probably you would not think of approaching first, someone who's explicitly expressing anti-Christ views. But God, we felt like God had sent us to him. So we start talking, and right away start talking about kingdom stuff. And He, you know, going out for the last 2.5 years, we kind of pick up on street lingo and stuff. So he never explicitly said what his role in the city was, but we could definitely tell, okay, this guy, he's moving product, is a way that he put it. And he made it clear, like, hey, I'm here, I'm doing this, I want to make as much money as I can, provide for people, and that's it. That's all I care about. I just want to make money, get to the top of the world. And so we kind of explained the checkers chess analogy to him, where, you know, you're focusing on checkers, the things of this world, and you're not looking at the actual important things, the things that the spiritual realm and the things that we don't see. And so, yeah, we were talking to him about that and talking to him about the cross too. And Jesus has two criminals on the cross beside him. You know, guys who, you know, were probably in similar boats of, okay, these people, they're harming other people. And one of them mocks Jesus and the other turns and says, I want to follow you. I want to be in your kingdom today. And saying, which one of these criminals are you going to be, right? You're on the same path as these guys. But it's the repentance that needs to come from that. That's important. And he also, I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but he said something like, oh, you know, the angels are all around us, which typically people don't mention angels. And that was one of the words that we'd gotten earlier. So all these things are sort of adding up where we're like, okay, God has clearly sent us to this man to pray for him today. And like all the things that God had spoken to us at City Hall are kind of coming true right now. And so eventually we get to the point where we're like, all right, can we pray for you? And he's like, yeah. So we ask him, oh, what's your name? And he gives us a code name. I kind of smirkingly, like, I could tell, okay, this guy knows, like, he's fooling around with us. But the code name he gives us is a specific type of fish, which is really interesting because, yeah, almost every single thing that we heard at City Hall, we didn't know how to interpret it, and us ourselves, we in some ways interpreted wrong what it would mean. And then once we actually talked to this guy and we're like, oh, okay, that's what that is. So yeah, he gives us his fish nickname, and then we all pray for him, all four of us, and we all had sort of different things that we prayed into, the message of repentance, the message of Jesus saving us from the cross, and one thing that he really talked about is, you know, the providing for others, that he would bring others to the faith as well, that this guy, you know, he's a clear leader. He has that natural personality, and he's using it right now to be successful in moving his product. But ideally, you know, he uses that charisma that he has to bring others to the gospel as well. And so we prayed that for him too. And as we finished, again, this guy, I don't know, of pretty much everyone that we've met, I would say this guy would be, you know, the toughest, would be able to put on the best poker face, that if anything happened, he could, you know, play it cool, pretend that nothing is happening. But as we finished praying, he looked, he's like, oh man, I gotta back off, like, you guys are gonna make me cry here, which is pretty crazy because, yeah, again, this, for a guy wearing a hat with a cross upside down to say that after we prayed for him is a pretty, pretty cool thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so he embraced all of us. He hugged us and, eventually he gave Ben his real name, but said, you know, keep this on the down low. Don't be spreading this. This is a very special privilege that I'm giving to you. But yeah, it was just really cool just to see, you know, God spoke to each one of us in the group that night, specific things that we all saw happen to this man. And just seeing God's heart, right, for someone who, you know, is dealing drugs, is actively harming people within the community, and God still sends people to go pray for him and preach this message of repentance. I thought, like God's heart is really cool in that way. It was really cool. Really cool night.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Noah. Thanks for sharing that. Isn't God awesome? Right? God cares, just like Noah said, God cares about the people who we would say are destroying our city. Go there. Go see this guy, right? And tell him he needs to repent. And by the end, we're wrapping our arms around him and getting to actually show him, not just verbally, but even physically, God loves you. You matter. It was really, really special. And keep praying for our fish friend. I saw him a few more times this week out on the street, and I don't think he has yet repented, but that doesn't mean that he did not meet God in some special ways. And seeds, not only were seeds planted, but I think he very much experienced God in that moment. We watched walls go up, and we watched walls go down, and up and down. But when they're down, God has even more opportunity, and he was at work. So keep praying for our fish friend. Well done, Noah. Thanks for sharing that. Dallas, would you like to come up and share an update?
Yeah, all you. Okay, hey guys. Big surprise, I'm leaving again. So I just wanted to give a quick update about what I'm doing for the next few years. So most of you guys know, when I shared about my staffing experience in Kona, I just loved my staffing experience so much. And I really just loved my outreach. And so, yeah, I was just praying a lot about what God wanted me to do next. And I think he really wants me to continue with staffing DTSs. And so I was praying about maybe moving to a different base, just because it was like, yeah, they do things just really differently at the Kona base, and it's really big and stuff. So I was praying about it. And there's a base in Montana, the Lakeside Montana base. And so I've been accepted there, and they take a 2-year commitment. And so what I'll be doing there is basically the same as what I did in Kona, but just at a different base. It's the same organization and everything. I'm leaving at the end of August. And so the staff training starts a week after that. And yeah, I'll be there for 2 years. I'm getting a visa this time, so I probably won't be back for 2 years. Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Wow. So for those of you who maybe are just new today or don't know this, so Dallas went with an organization called Youth with a Mission, YWAM, to go spread the gospel, to share God's love, to do what we're doing, but further abroad, and went first as a student and has now last year gone as a leader and is making a commitment to continue that. And I mean, when you shared just a couple months ago, having come back and the mission trip, I think the numbers were 268 salvations you saw, 140 Bibles handed out, and 25 physical healings, and it was Youth with a Mission. And so you want to see that happen some more, but that means not only prayer support, it means financial support as well, right? Okay, so please consider partnering with and supporting Dallas, because you know these are big kingdom things and require some money. So will you please pray about that? Pray for Dallas, pray that God will provide, and pray about how you can even be a part of that as well. And I said to Dallas, if you come up and share, would you also then pray for Kate Stober, who's currently out doing this kind of stuff right now? She's in South Africa, sharing God's love with the people who need it most. And so I asked Dallas, would you give us an update, and then would you pray for Kate as well? Because you know best how to pray for her, and we want to see that kind of harvest happen in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also just quickly on like the finance parts. So I did bring with me newsletter. So how I'm doing things financially this year, there's a lot more like legal stuff. And so before I go, I just have to have like a certain amount. So my goal is it's $1,300 American monthly. And so that goes for like rent and food and the outreaches that I'll be going on. And so, yeah, I'm looking to get like pledges for that much money. I have about 400 Canadian already pledged. So in the newsletter, it basically gives like just like my whole history with YWAM and everything. And then at the bottom, then it's my email and my phone number. So if you'd like to support me monthly, then you can either email me or text me and just let me know. And then I'll get back to you on how you can send that money. And then also I'm going to be doing like monthly newsletters through email every month while I'm gone. So if you just want to give me your email, then I can add you to my list. I already have a list going, but yeah, I don't know if I have anybody on here on it. So yeah, I'm just going to put those like over there at the end and you can pick one up if you want. And yeah, perfect. Now I'll pray.
Yeah, thank you. So you could tell that we didn't arrange this very well. It would connect very well ahead of time. But yeah, thanks, Dallas. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yes.
Oh, and okay, quickly, sorry. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's already given to me and also prayed for me and everything and who's like heard me spoke before and like about my outreaches. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, I know what it's like to just like work a job and just to tithe. So I really appreciate everybody who's already given to me. So I just want to say thank you. Okay, now I'll pray for real. Okay. Dear Lord, I just thank you for Kate and her team that's in South Africa right now. Lord, I just thank you for their obedience to you, even when it's hard. Yeah, and just their heart for missions that they have and heart for truth and just seeing people come to know you in the nations. So, yeah, I just pray for their team right now, Lord. We just pray over Kate and her entire team that you would just, yeah, just surround them with peace and love. Yeah, and just that they would have that urge in their heart to just be bold in the last few weeks of their outreach, Lord, that they would just be carrying so much boldness with them and that they wouldn't leave with, any regrets of not sharing with people or, just not being bold, Lord. I just pray that you would protect them as they're there and also that you would give clarity to them about, just what you want them to do for the rest of their lives. Everybody on that team, Lord, that you would give them clarity in their next steps, whether it's in missions or in a different sphere of the world, Lord. I just pray for the South Africans as well, that their hearts would be open and their ears would be open to hear all that Kate and her team have to share. I just pray that, that they would just be walking out in love and that they would just... just be open to whatever you want to do and that they would just be listening to your spirit whenever they're talking with the South Africans. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. And Lord, I pray for Dallas that you would prepare her, that you would prepare the team that she's going to work alongside and those who are going to, that she is going to mentor and are going to serve under her. Would you prepare each one in relationship with you and then prepare them for the relationships with each other and the service that they will do? I pray that your gospel would go out not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. I pray that there would be demonstration of the Spirit and power, that there would be your provision for them to get to those missions. Financial provision, the spiritual provision, the protection that is needed, the wisdom for making decisions. Lord, you are provider. We know you are at work both in Dallas's life and in this organization and where you will send them. So Lord, I pray that there would be a great and increasing awareness of how you are at work, your deep love, and how you want to move through people who surrender to you and offer their lives in service to you, that others would know Jesus. I pray more and more people would know Jesus because Dallas said yes to you. Lord, would you provide for all of her financial needs and prepare her for the next step? In Jesus' name, amen. Well done. Thank you. Okay. Jody. Come on up. Welcome. Jody was not aware that everyone was going to have her name on our t-shirts this morning. Jody doesn't love being the center of attention, but she's been on a journey for a while, and it's had ups and downs, and yet she and we have seen God at work in the middle of it, and so she wanted to share some of that journey with us and, again, put the spotlight on Jesus. So thanks for being willing to share with us this morning, Jody.
Yeah. So thank you guys for making me cry before I even got up here. yeah, I have said this many times, but I'm deeply overwhelmed and grateful. Even this makes me feel grateful. So thank you. I'd say I'm getting the crying out of the way first, but I know it's not done, so it's okay. So as probably most of you know, almost 6 months ago now, my life kind of took a very quick turn very fastly, and started with a mass that was found and led to surgery and cancer diagnosis and chemo and all those things, and so it's been an interesting journey, that's for sure, and lots of things has happened, but I would like to say that that journey didn't start 6 months ago with the mass being found. It started well before that, even though I didn't even realize it at first, as I stopped to think about what was happening to me. I realized how God had started planting things and preparing the path for me to know He was there and He had me through this. Because last spring, I was at the women's prayer group, and we were praying, and they were saying to just see if God had a word for anybody in the group. And I should preface that, because it's probably a part that those ladies may not even know yet. But before I went to that group, on my way there, I was like, God, I don't even know why I go. I don't know that I'm getting anything out of this. So if you want me to be here, then you got to show me. Maybe I was bargaining a little bit, but I was just feeling kind of, I don't know. I've been, if I'm being honest, you're my church family, I'm supposed to be honest with you, right? If I should be honest with anybody. I had been struggling in my faith in a lot of ways, because some of you probably know lots has happened in my life. And there's moments where I've just in the last few years are just like, okay, God, I'm praying and I'm doing these things and I don't feel like you're doing anything, and just kind of questioning Him a lot. And so that's some preface to this. And they go into this prayer meeting and they do that. And then we're done praying. They're like, is there anybody have any word for anybody in here? You know, as Ben says, I don't like the spotlight, but all of a sudden the spotlight was on me, because several of the ladies were saying that God was telling me, giving them the word peace for me, which was quite interesting, because when I do I have to change my password every year with my work, my stuff at work. And so when it was so first set up for me, they put the word awesome in there. It's like, whatever year it was is going to be awesome. And so I thought, oh, I like that, a word for the year, right? And so the beginning of last year, I was like, what's my word going to be for this year? And like I said, I was like wrestling with my faith. So I was like, okay, peace. I just need some peace about this, right? And so the ladies were praying over me, and several of them were saying the word peace. And I was like, well, interesting, since that's my word for the year and something I felt like I needed. But also one person said the word abide. And I thought, that's interesting. And that was Aletta. She talked about this abiding tree she had. So I'll get to that part of the story too. But and I was like, okay. But me being me, I kind of was like, okay, God, well, I guess you wanted me there. You had all of them say words for me, but I don't know what all this means. But okay. And then I kind of ignored it. And so, you know, fast forward almost 6 months later, get told one of the hardest things you can get told, and yet God has provided so much peace within that. I'm not saying it hasn't been hard, it's been very hard. I didn't know I needed that word. But then that word abide was still kind of in the back of my head, kind of ignoring it. And then the Sunday before I started chemo, Ben said, pray and see if there's any word God has for you to share with anyone here today. And I was sitting next to Sheila. And after the service, she says, I don't know why, but God is telling me the word abide for you. Interesting. I think I've heard that word before. So I started thinking about it, and like it was going through my mind. And so I've been telling Letta, I really need to come out and see this abiding tree, you know, because she said the word now, and I'm thinking, okay, God's talking about abide. And so I didn't take it with a grain of salt this time. I took it home, I took it to heart. And I'm a person that really likes to understand a word, not just like, okay, the word abide, I think I know what it means, so I'll just do this with it. And so I went home, and I started going through the Bible, and I took a couple of versions so I could see the different words used for that particular word in those different verses, if that makes sense. And like, see, I have proof, I wrote them all down. And I started writing them down, so I had a greater understanding what it meant to abide, what it means to abide with God. And the words that were like, interchangeable, but the other versions would use interchangeably were rest, endurance, home, remains, stay, hold, belongs, permanent place, be with, live in, continue, and be in. And I mean, like, I don't know. Those are some pretty profound words to me, for many reasons. But when I started this journey, one of the things I kept crying out to God was, God, I can't do this alone. My family doesn't live here. Sorry. I can't be sick in a foreign country. That was my cry. I can't do this. I'm by myself here. People have lives. They can't be worried about me. And if God has answered any prayer, obviously, I'm not alone. And like, I've told Ben, like, I feel so greatly blessed because I have this army of people around me that I didn't even know. I mean, I knew you guys were there. But like, there's passing in church and asking each other how we're doing, and then they're standing with each other in the gap. And not just, you know, praying for each other, because sometimes we get done praying, but to truly walk with each other, to do life together, even when it's hard. And I have felt that. I've felt that from you guys. I've felt that from my work family. I have felt that from my friends that aren't in this church family. And when I say this church family too, I even think about like the way God has used that. Like, my Unity family far exists outside of this, and those people have stepped up too and been like, we're here, we got you. And to me, that's beautiful, because even maybe we're worshiping in different places, maybe there's things going on in between some of us, it doesn't matter. We all still love each other. And that has been profound to me. It's been beautiful. And I feel eternally grateful, a little overwhelmed, very humbled by it. And that abiding in God, that word to me, and that peace is, when you abide with God, there's peace. And he does so much, and he provides what you need, including the people you need and the army you need. And that has been evident every day. I feel like sometimes I'm overwhelmed because my phone or people wanting to come over, and sometimes I don't listen to my body, and like several people have come, and then after I'm like so exhausted, right? In a good way, but it's like, wow, like I like thinking about, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to ramble because it's so much, but I'm a people person. I love to be with people. That's why I do the job I do. I get to sit all day and talk to people and help them, and I love doing that. And I was like, how am I going to, even the six weeks of surgery, I was like, how am I going to survive this being at home, because I'm never home. Like, I've never seen so much of my house. Also, you notice everything you want to fix and change in your house when you spend quality time there. But yeah, like, I thought, how am I going to do this? Ironically, it's been the opposite. Like, it's gone fast because I am so full every day with people who just, whether it's texts or visits, just blessing me. And that has just been, like, amazing. Like, I just, yeah. Yeah, and I did get to go out and see Aletta's abiding tree, because I just, like, got to do this. This word, this, like, being at peace with God and abiding in him, even when it hurts, because it does hurt, and I do suffer, and I have moments I wake up, and I'm mad, and I want my body back, and I don't want to go through chemo, but then God reminds me how blessed I am while I'm going through this, and that there are things, beauty. You know, the song said, beauty within ashes, right? God takes things and he can create beauty from them, and I've seen it. And that abiding tree, yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's not green yet, and it's a little, like, the leaves and stuff are a little orangey brown, and Aletta says, she goes, well, it's not really that pretty right now. It hasn't started blooming yet. And I said to her, oh, no, but it reminds me of myself right now. Because right now, my body is struggling, and it's fighting, and maybe, and life is hard right now, but that tree is still rooted, and it will still come back, and it will still grow new leaves and stuff, and it was such a good reminder for me that I'm abiding in God, and he's got this every step of the way. And then I had one morning, actually, I've had lots of mornings, but this one particular morning, where did I put it? Isaiah 46. So I was like, I woke up. You say I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I woke up on the wrong side of my emotions for the morning. But I was having one of those mornings where I was struggling. I was tired of my body. I was tired of the stress. I just, my God, I just can't. Ironically, I had a counseling appointment that morning, which was probably a good thing. But right before my counseling appointment, I was reading something, and this verse came up, so I went and looked it up, and it's Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, and it says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain in the house of Israel, you whom I've upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even in your old age and your gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And I was like, oh, okay, God. It was like God said, remember, I keep telling you, I got it. It's okay, right? I have you. I have sustained you for 45 years through many dark times, and I've got this one too. I could tell you so many stories, but, like, so I'm telling you about these words and how God had prepared me with that, but he's provided so much, like, the moment I was, for example, the doctor who told me I had the mass was Dr. Steve Forrester, which a lot of you know because he used to come to Unity Baptist. I could have had any doctor in that ER. Actually, there were two other ones on. But here, a doctor I actually know gets to tell me the hard news. And he's like, I'm sorry I had to be the one to tell you. And I'm like, no, I am so glad it's coming from a familiar face and a person I know. When you get news like that, right? Like, and from the moment I was told, they said, no matter what this mass is, if it's cancer or not, you're lucky. It's small, it's easily manageable, and they kept telling me, and I'm like, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed, but God's got it or whatever, but and even in hindsight of that, ovarian cancer is something that's what I have, and as you know, now you have the colors on, is something that usually isn't diagnosed till it's far advanced, and it's very hard to treat and get rid of by that time, and because it's a very aggressive cancer. And because mine was small, and yes, it had spread a bit, but because it was already so contained and so small by the time they found it, my doctor's like, I'm pretty confident in a cure. I think we've got this, right? Like, that's the words you want to hear when you're told you have cancer, right? But that wouldn't have been true had I not had this major pain and then wound up in the ER and they found this mass. I've never been so grateful for so much pain in my life because I wouldn't be sitting here probably. It'd be a whole different ball game of what we were dealing with. And in that I feel blessed and grateful and realize it's a blessing that I shouldn't take for granted because not everybody gets that. So I'm going to derail probably many times, but in that gratitude with that, when I see you out here wearing these colors, I know you're doing it to support me. But I had someone say, oh, I don't like those ribbons. That represents cancer. And I said, no. That ribbon says we make awareness. So not that others are as blessed as I am, because not everybody is that fortunate. And some people we love didn't get that privilege. And so if I can make any difference, if anything can be taken from this, at least I can bring that awareness, right? So I don't believe that we waste hurts. God does not. He says, I can take every hurt you have and I can use it. And so thank you. Thank you for being a part of that awareness, because that's important. Not for me. I'm going to be okay. it's for all those other women out there too, right? I have a coworker, so it's interesting. What I do for work, if you don't know, is I'm a mental health therapist. And so, you know, I help people all the time with all their stuff. I have never had to practice what I preach so much in my life. It's been good, though, because now I can say it does work. But one of the things, we teach a grief workshop, and we talk about when we're grieving. So we grieve not just because we lose someone, but also because we lose a sense of ourselves and our bodies misbehave or whatever it is, anything that we feel connected to. And one of my coworkers, the way she says it is, I like the way she says it, but we talk about, she says, you can have sunshine and rain, meaning I can hurt and suffer. I can feel the grief. I let myself feel it because it's important. It's hard. But there's so much good alongside of it. I can also find the good and find life within turmoil. And so I put 3 points in. I said I'll be a good Baptist preacher. But one of my points is there's always things to find the blessings. We don't always feel it, but it's finding the anomalies. We can easily, if I say, what are you grateful for? Most people, my family, my food on the table. By the way, those are really great things to be grateful for. I'm not saying that, but we forget the other stuff, right? I am grateful that I had major pain because my ovary twisted so that they could be aware of that mass. I'm grateful that even in the midst of this hard stuff, like, I get to see and meet and be a part of a whole nother world that I didn't even understand. I thought I understood. I did not understand. You know, like, this suffering will allow me to see and help my patients in a whole new way. Probably at least 50% or more of my patients deal with chronic illness. And I thought I knew. And I thought I was saying the right things, but I had no clue. I truly had no clue what it was like to walk this journey. And so I'm grateful for that. It gives me tools that I thought, well, that I wouldn't have otherwise, right? So gratitude is important, but making sure in that gratitude that it's okay to both suffer and have gratitude, because God already feels our heart. Pain is still there, but there can be so much goodness in the midst of that pain. The way I wrote it is learning to both cry and be grateful at the same time. We also have tears of gratitude, right? So that's really important for me. Then going back to those words, you know, that for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And he does not want me to go through this, but he says, I have a plan for it. I can use it. I can work all things for the good for those who love me and are called according to his purpose. That's what he says. And it's like, I keep saying, God, how do you want me to use this? I don't want to waste it. Like, this shouldn't be wasted. And you gave me a gift, and I don't want to get rid of, you know, I don't want to waste that gift. I get the gift that it was caught early and that I can walk through this without, I mean, not that there's not fears at moments, but that there's hope at the end, because there's a cure, like the doctor says, you know, I feel confident in a cure, right? And there's also hope at the end, even if it wasn't, but like in a different way, right? And so, like, yeah, how he's planned each step, like I said, I could go on and on from the people he's planted in my life. I mean, who doesn't have any family around, but they show up to their first appointment, to their hospital visits with a nurse and a healthcare aide that are friends, but they're more than friends, they're family. I mean, and then shows up to the next ones with a new nurse. And the doctor's like, he says to me at my second appointment, like my first follow-up after my surgery, he said, you come with someone different every time. I said, yeah, they're not family, but they are family. You know? He's like, oh. He says, a lot of people come up here with no one. And I was like, I can't even imagine. I have this army I could choose from. Who, I mean, I'm always like, well, so-and-so said they could take me, and so-and-so said they could take me, right? Like, I have this, like, army of people. And that's one of the ways, I mean, God has sustained me with people. But one of the ways God has reminded me he is there, that he has a plan. I'm a music person. I love to sing, and I love music. And people say I have a song for everything. Like, I was even bought a game that you flip a word, and if you could be the first one to grab the mic and sing a song with that lyric and that word in a lyric, you know, you get a point or whatever. And people don't like to play with me because, I mean, there's always a song in my head. So as I always do, I mean, it's easy for me to grab the mic. So, but God sustained me through that because there's been so many songs he's used. And in the moments I felt darkest, he's given me a song. You know, for example, when I was in the hospital and I had way more major surgery than I anticipated, and my body felt it. And I was also just told, even though it was very foggy memory of it, but I was not fully awake from anesthesia when the doctor told me it was cancer. So it's not recommendable. A doctor shouldn't do that. But, but like, I'm processing this while I'm trying to, like, my body's just been ripped open and all sorts of stuff done, right? And so I'm laying there, and I just was like, it's a part of me, because I couldn't, I was restless because I have a bad spine. It's not a good combination when you have abdominal surgery. And so there was no way, there was no position at the, when I got home there was, but at the hospital, it wasn't in a position where I could get comfortable. And so it felt like it was never going to be better. And like, I had this huge, just crazy thing ahead of me that I just couldn't, how am I ever going to get through this? And there's this song that was written during COVID, because of COVID, called There's Gonna Be Brighter Days. And he says, you know, it starts off with, I've never been through times like these. I never felt like so hard to breathe. You know, he talks about wanting to scream in the dark, but nobody hears your sounds, kind of thing. And then he says, but I know there's gonna be brighter days, and love will find you in your pain. And I kept singing that in my head over and over and over again. And that's like, it helped me to say, it's okay, God's got this. This is, just because it looks so dark and so cloudy and so hard, there's going to be light at the end, right? And that, it sustained me, like, just giving me, like, another song that kept coming in the dark nights. Like, once I got home, it was actually after I got home from the hospital, there's a song that says, when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. And it says, yeah, through the night, all through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. We've heard this song, but it was like, when those nights I couldn't sleep, the first time it came to my mind was the night before my follow-up for my surgery, and I knew that follow-up meant I was getting the results and finding out if I have to have chemo and all of that. And I was like, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I just, like, I was so anxious. You can ask poor Sydney how anxious I was. She's seen all kind of sides of me now. But that song kept going in my mind. God's got this. All through this darkest night, he's got this. My battle belongs to him. And I actually slept like a baby that night. And trust me, sleeping good right now is hit and miss. And it was like, the song just kept playing. God said, I got another song for you. So I have this, those who've been to my appointments with me know I have my anthems, a battle anthems playlist. It's my songs for the battle. The songs that keep going in my mind, I have a whole playlist of them because those songs are just sustaining me. God's reminding me through those words that he's there. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of cool. I always just think it's weird that I'm like that, but I guess God had a purpose in it. Just that sustaining me, saying, I got this. I got a plan. I got this. Reminding me he's there. But the third thing, and it comes with a story too, so sorry, it's a lot of talking, is about outward beauty. So I guess I should start with the beginning and then work my way up. As a kid, growing up from probably grade one, grade one to grade six, so midway grade six, my foster parents at the time, wonderful, wonderful people, but bless her, my Shannon's heart, she thought that our haircuts needed to be short. It was easy for her to manage, but unfortunately, usually that meant we went to the barber to get them cut, and they were not so pretty haircuts. So I often had little mullets made me look like a little boy, and often got asked if I was a boy or a girl. And when you're growing up and you're changing, you want to be you. And I hated my haircuts. I would cry every time I got a haircut because I knew that meant people were going to ask again, are you a boy or are you a girl? I hated them. And so that being said, that left a little trauma. So as soon as I was old enough and was told I could do what I wanted with my hair, it's been long, like you've seen. There's a reason that my hair is always long and pretty much the same hairstyle the whole time you've known me. Because that was my... I can't, like, I've had literally had dreams where, like, accidentally cut my hair off or something like that, and I was all panicked. Like, traumatic, a little bit traumatic, the childhood. And I say that, like, and I remember earlier last year, I can't remember who at work, must have been a patient going through something, that they lost their hair. And I remember saying to a coworker, I can't imagine, that's got to be so hard. I mean, I'd be so devastated, and I'm so attached to this, and I was telling her kind of my story. I was like, I don't know what I would do if I had to lose my hair. And so, you know, and so then, of course, I get this diagnosis, got to go through chemo, and my doctor, he didn't say you might lose your hair, he said you will lose your hair. And he's already telling me I have to have chemo, and I haven't cried, but I'm just like processing, overwhelmed, and then as soon as he said that, I just was like in tears. I was like, but I'm attached to this. And he's like, I know, you know, women go through. He was very kind about it, but it was devastating to me. And I got home the next day, this Sydney can contest. I cried all day. Thankfully, Sydney was there. And some silly, I was crying over hair, but it's not silly because I put worth in something that didn't really bring me value, but I thought it did. And, you know, then I got my hair cut shorter. You guys probably seen it. It was kind of like a bob, so I could prepare myself. I knew as a therapist I needed steps because I needed to be able to handle this well. So I cut it short and then shaved it, kind of made steps, so I was kind of preparing myself for losing it. But a lot of tears were shed over this hair. This is not my hair, but it's my hair that I don't have. Well, actually, it's sitting at my house in a bag, but... because we cut it off and I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it. But and so the Sunday, so 2.5 weeks after my first treatment, my hair was coming out in like massive clumps. And so I made the decision it's time to shave it because it was more traumatic seeing that constantly than it would have been. It was keeping me at home because I was embarrassed of all the hair that was coming out than to just get it shaved. And thankfully, even in that, like, Miranda Moyes is the one who cut my hair, came to my house and did it. She was, you know, she is just such a kind and gentle person, like God having that planned out too in my mind, because I needed that, right? Most hairdressers don't do home visits. It was very kind. Even, like, him lining up a lady that does wigs, because it's a lady that Sydney already knew that uses her for her wigs. So it was like, oh, and she was so great and so gentle and kind. But the Sunday, so getting to the better part of the story, the Sunday after I shaved it on Saturday, I was surprisingly relieved. It was like I could take a breath because I wasn't worried about this thing coming. But that Sunday, I was talking to Sandra, and she was saying she remembered how I had told her about my hair and how I was afraid of losing hair because of my childhood and stuff. And so she said, can we pray over you? And I was like, yeah. And Noah and Dallas were standing there. And so the three of them prayed over me, which, first of all, it was beautiful to me because here's these young woman and young man who were just these little kids I used to babysit that their dad terrified them because they told him they spanked Carter in Louisiana, but it's okay. But, you know, like, humbling to me and beautiful, like, and here they are, adult, beautiful children who love God and are praying over me, like, I don't know, to you, I don't know about you, but to me that was beautiful. But they were praying over me, and they were praying for me to know my worth without hair. And Sandra just said, pray that God would give me a different image of my childhood and my beauty other than how I saw it with ugly looks and the terrible haircuts. And the first thing that came to my mind was my foster brother. His name was David. And he did it more than once, but this particular time, it was my last horrid haircut. it looked terrible. It was like short mullet all the way down, and then it was like 5 inches long at the bottom. It was terrible. And by this time, I'm in grade six, so I really care about what it looked like even more so. And he sat down next to me. I was sitting on our front stoop crying again. And I'm like, I'm so ugly with my hair. And he says, no, you're not. You're beautiful just the way you are. And that's the image that came to my mind when Sandra was praying that. And like God was reminding me that my beauty is not wrapped up in my hair or what I look like. Our beauty is about who we are on the inside. And it was a good reminder and beautiful moment because it was like, oh, yeah. I've ironically been more comfortable than I thought without having hair. I mean, I'm wearing a wig right now, but, you know, mostly around my house, I don't wear a wig or just wear a hat. I've gone to other people's houses. And I go to the gym in just my ball cap because, well, I feel like it'd be more embarrassing for my wig to fall off than it would be to wear the hat. So, but, it's like, that's the third thing. Like, our parents used to, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm beautifully made. And he's not talking about the outside. This is fading. You know, the flower withers and the grass fadeth, right? But the love of God lasts forever. And who we are inside, that's where beauty lies. And that's, like, been a blessing in a weird kind of way because I've been on a journey my whole life where in many ways I've doubted my self-worth. Not many ways, a lot of ways I've doubted my self-worth. Do I matter? Do I look good enough? And the last, like, year and a half, I also think God was preparing me. I just decided a year and a half ago because I have a bad back that, okay, it's time to take ownership. The doctor told you like 4 years ago that you needed to exercise every day and you hadn't been doing that. So maybe it's time to finally start. And so I finally started taking ownership of my health and saying, no, you know what? Because I kept telling patients, you know, you got to take care of yourself, your body. Body is, if you're a Christian, this is the temple of God. God gave you that body and you should take care of it and sustain it. And I tell patients that. So I said, well, maybe, again, take my own advice, start doing this. I had no idea this was coming, but because my body was already strong enough, it was healthy, it has been far better going through all of this than it would have been. But also, in that journey, I've been learning, because I tell patients, you know, we talk about weight loss, but it should never be about weight loss. Like, when we talk about getting healthy, that's typically what people think. And I'm like, and I always tell patients, it shouldn't be about weight loss. It should be about being healthy. It should be taking care of your body. Because that should matter the most to you, not what you look like. Then I was like, oh, maybe I have to take my own advice. But, like, through this journey, like, I've had this self-image issue most of my life. And the last year and a half, I guess almost 2 years now, I really came to be okay with me. Okay with my body and say, you know what? Doesn't matter. Like, me is enough. I don't need to prove myself. So when the whole hair thing happened, I was like, uh-oh. I say that now, but I'm about to eat my words. But in reality, in a weird sort of way, it's been so good for me because there are moments, you know, I go out and I just have my hat on like we briefly walked in to get one thing at Superstore. I was like, oh, I only have my little hat on. I don't have hair. And Sydney's like, it's okay. And I'm like, you're right. It really is. I don't care. And then I said to her, I said, the reality is right now, I'm like thinking about it, but as soon as I walk in the store, I'll completely forget that I just have a hat on and no hair. And it was true. I did. It didn't matter. But, you know, I was just me and it's okay. And guess what? I'm bald. I pull it off better than you, Dave, though. It's just not true. Just easy. But, like, you know, I recognize, like, I spent too many years believing that my worth was wrapped up in something it's not. And these blessings, this gratitude, all these people, like, I tell you, there's just one more part. I don't know. But there's another song, it's called Rescue. And that verse is talking about rescuing. And it's interesting because Ben was praying over me and, like, he was talking about, you know, rescuing. I don't even know how, it was in your prayer somehow, it said rescue. And that song popped in my head because that verse talked about rescue, I've got you in the middle of this storm. And it says, and I will send out an army to rescue you in the middle of the darkest nights. So just wanted to wrap up with that because, I mean, look at this army. And it far exceeds here. And I don't think that I deserve all that blessing, but I am so profoundly blessed with it.
Thank you for sharing, Jody. I apologize for going late, and yet this something here. It's my fault, not yours. There were things as we were hearing Jody's story, as I'd call her on the phone or we'd get together, and I've heard it from others as well, that there were things here that were worth sharing with other people, not only so we could support you, but even more so that we could see Jesus at work. And you did that really well. And I remember when I got together with Jody most recently, and she was sharing about these words, that their peace had kept coming. And you talked about abiding. And there was a third one, which was tenderness. And I was going to ask you about it, but instead of asking about it, you have already brought that out for us. Because what you have done is illustrated for us with story after story after story how you have experienced the tenderness of Jesus. So thank you for sharing your journey with us. Your emphasis on living a grateful life out of an awareness of God being at work in your life is exemplary. And I think that is one of those things that puts the spotlight on Jesus so well. So thank you for sharing your journey with us. Well done. Would you thank her, please? She's feeling good. Okay, we're good. We were going to sing the goodness of God. We're quite behind, and they're going to kick us out soon. So, at this point, I will say, go listen to the goodness of God. But we have.
Can I say one more thing? That's quite interesting that that's the song you were going to sing, because before all of this started, I usually have a song that just. I'll have lots of songs throughout the day, but one that will play over and over again. And all of last year, that was the song that went through my mind, which is interesting. So also, I sing karaoke by myself at my house. Mm-hmm. But like, that was one song I was singing all the time on my little karaoke thing. And anyway, that's quite interesting. Maybe that's quite God.
Let's pray it for you now. Lord, that song says, all my life you have been faithful and so, so good. Lord, you have been with Jody on a journey, and she has experienced your goodness in the middle of the valley. Thank you for revealing yourself to her and to us through her, for how you are good and faithful all through our lives. That you're the God who never leaves, who never forsakes. You are the God who provides strength as we abide with you. I thank you for the ways that you made Psalm 91 so real in Jody's life. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You have been her refuge. I thank you for how Scripture has popped and resounded and resonated in her life, as she has clung to you and found that you are true and you are faithful and you are good in the middle of it all. So thank you for being good shepherd from beginning to end. And I pray your blessings over her. I pray for ongoing and increasing peace as she abides in you and finds that you are a God who is tender with pain and is redeeming things in the middle of it. Would you continue to do that in her life? And I pray that the things that we heard from you this morning as you revealed yourself would be things that we would take with us and say, the Lord is good. Thank you for revealing yourself through story and testimony this morning. Go with us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings, friends. Thanks for being here. And thank you again, Jody. Well done. Have a great week.